River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
It is hour number three of the Sports Hangover. Jay Hargrave. You know what we normally do at the top of every hour? We say what's coming up, Marlin favorite.
Say the Pledge of Allegiance.
2:15. We say thank you to Rafael Esparza, Coach Mark Schlesinger of UNO. We always like to go back and say thank you.
He could be our co-host.
We do one more thing.
What else?
Joey.
Well, gentlemen, we have ways to make men talk.
It's Friday.
I thought I was kidding, huh?
You know,
thought I was kidding.
I'm just surprised that while we're preparing to storm Area 51, what was it, September 20th on a Friday. You would prefer
on a Friday
being swooped up by an alien spacecraft and having things performed on you than listening to Rebecca Black on loop.
Yes, I have to go there.
Incredible.
Yes.
Well, it is what it is. Gus Kattengill with EJ Hargrave. It's the Sports Hangover. Hour number three. As we get closer to football, Media Days has been going on left and right here. We spoke with head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave yesterday about his Green Wave pick to finish right behind Memphis and Houston over there in the West. 11 teams coming up here in the near future as UConn's going out. So we talked to him a lot about different things. He mentioned his new offensive coordinator, Will Hall. We got him on the show right now to join us and talk a little bit. At coach_Hall7 is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Having a great summer. Excited to be here with Coach Fritz, and really appreciate you guys having me on today.
Not for sure, man. Looking forward to having a conversation with you because, for starters, offense, it seems to be in abundance in college football, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, the way people are spreading things out and getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands quick and really stressing the defense from sideline to sideline. And then the rule changes, you know, through the years have kind of made it a little bit tougher for people to stop people. But I think you've seen defenses make a comeback over the last few years with some of the schematic things they're doing, and we're starting to see a little better defense in most of the conferences.
People might be familiar with you, especially around these parts. You were the offensive coordinator with the Raging Cajuns, Memphis, your last stop before you came here a year ago. So people might be familiar with the type of offenses those schools run and what kind of offense it is. What is your philosophy when it comes to running offense in college football today?
Yeah, so we want to be a very multiple pro-style team that plays really, really fast. I think if you look, you know, teams that you see on TV that we will be similar to in the passing game, you'll see a lot of the Saints concepts. But from a run game perspective, teams you see on TV, we're going to look a lot like Clemson, Memphis, Notre Dame, probably those type schools to the untrained eye. You know, we'll run the quarterback if our quarterback's a runner. We don't have to do that. We do it when we can. Obviously, the kids we've got here, that is part of their skill set, so we'll do that. But we want to play with a lot of tight ends and a lot of backs, a lot of what we call hybrid-type players that can get in the box and out of the box so we can dictate matchups to the opponent.
It's interesting you say that, Coach, because that's what I wanted to kind of get into. It almost seems, and I don't want to say trendy, but you know, yeah, the spread, the hurry up when Oregon get to the line. And then something you've seen a lot in college football is the quarterback is basically an athlete. You know, run him out there and stuff. So to hear you say, hey, look, that's great if you can do that, and that's a skill set. But when you mention tight ends and you mention different type of players you're going to try to get the football to, it almost seems like that's first, running of the quarterback is second.
Yeah, you know, I think anytime you run the quarterback, obviously you make it 11-on-11 football as opposed to 10-on-11 when you're going against the defense. So numerically, being a math guy like I am, running the quarterback is the easiest, most surefire way to move the football. But the fact of the matter is that guy's pretty important, and the more hits you get on him, you know, that cannot be good as the game wears on. So we want to be able to run the football. We want to be able to move the football without running the quarterback, but certainly we also want to do that when we need to, if that is part of his skill set. And like I said, with the guys we've got, it's definitely part of their skill set. So we'll do it when we have to, hopefully we can not just have to rely on that.
Speaking with Coach Will Hall, the offensive coordinator for the Tulane Green Waves. Coach, this is Jay Hardgrave here. And when you inherit a quarterback like a Justin McMillan, and you're coming in as your first year, obviously as a first-year offensive coordinator, you're going to look at all of the talent that you have on the offensive side of the ball. But when you're trying to put your offense together, do you pay special attention to the pluses and the minuses of your quarterback, Justin McMillan?
Oh, definitely. I think when you look across football since the beginning of time, I think people that are successful, they build it around the quarterback and making sure the quarterback's successful. I mean, look at the Saints since Peyton and Breeze have gotten there. Look at the Rams over the last few years. Jared Goff, everybody was ready to run him out of the league, and then McVay goes there, and now all of a sudden he's a Pro Bowler. You know, so people that are successful year in and year out, they find ways to help the quarterback be successful, and we're certainly going to try to do that here. So we're going to take what Justin does well. Justin's a really talented young man that is an intense competitor, and we're going to try to build an offense around what he does well. I think anytime you try to make a quarterback conform to the offense through the history of football, that usually doesn't work out. So we want to have a big enough toolbox to handle whatever our quarterback can do, along with the rest of our skill set of our talent. Mm-hmm. And I think Coach Fritz would tell you we've certainly got a humongous toolbox, and we're going to pull out the tools that we need this year to try to make sure we keep this thing rolling in the right direction.
Coach, I want to touch on some of those tools here in a quick second, but to kind of elaborate on what you're referencing, you mentioned Saints, Rams. Those are two teams that their quarterbacks – read defenses, get their guys lined up in different things. It's something that Jay and I have talked for years, really, it kind of seems, and weeks on the show, because we saw that trend with Oregon, right? It's that offense gets to the line of scrimmage and snaps so fast. You have the old poster boards and doing those things. I've always, and again, I'm not a coach. That's why I'm asking you. I've always would rather, I would assume, especially for next level, even now, have guys be able to read the defense. If everyone's looking sideline, you're kind of really not seeing what the defense is sort of doing, and you're not really preparing them or not. Is that a misconception? Can you still be prepared and do that if I'm letting the coaches on the sideline doing it when I'm lined up? Or as a philosophy, would you rather your team sort of read how the team is playing and have your quarterback be able to, whether it's audible or at least know kind of what's coming?
No, we want to train our quarterback to be a quarterback. You know, we want to – you know, I feel like it's my obligation to these kids when we recruit them to put them in a situation to where if they're good enough talent-wise that we're preparing them to play in the NFL or the CFL or to make money playing football. I just feel like I owe that to these kids. So we're going to train them, you know, just like they're going to be trained when they go to play pro football. They're going to be taught how to check. They're going to be taught how to read box count, check run plays, to do it all themselves. Now, if it's a kid, if the best player that we're going to play with that year is a kid that can handle that, then that's when I feel like you're at your best. If he is not comfortable with that and cannot handle that, or he's young, you know, and he's still learning, I think you've got to manipulate ways to take stress and take pressure off of him.
Gotcha.
So we want to be able to do that too. But Justin's a gym rat. He loves football. Keon Howard's played a lot of football. So I feel like our quarterbacks will be able to be quarterbacks without me having to hold their hand through it.
Right. It's just an interesting question to me because I see that, right? I mean, you've seen it, Coach, sometimes where, man, the play clock's running down. You got 5, 4, and the team's just turning around and looking at what the defense goes. I'm like, I don't know how that can work sometimes all the time. I get the advantages to both, you know?
Oh, yes, sir. You know, you want to change tempo. You know, you want to have the ability to play fast. And you want to have the ability to line up and take a snap count, look to the sideline and get a play. You want to have the ability to, you know, to keep the defense off balance. Much like a major league pitcher, you know, is going to throw his 99-mile-an-hour fastball, but then he's going to come with a changeup and a slider and all those things. So you don't want to just play fast all the time. You don't want to just slow it down all the time. You want to be mixing and matching tempos with them, doing everything you can do to keep them off balance, because if they can line up and dig their cleats in, see the formation, and know what they're coached to do, and they've been watching film all week, they know what plays you like to run by formation, it makes it much tougher on you offensively.
Coach, to me, one of the things that spiraled completely out of control in college football today is this transfer portal, and hopefully the NCAA is going to do something about it that's going to help you guys. How difficult is it for you as an offensive coordinator? You know, you having Justin McMillan, it actually worked in your favor that you have him for his senior year. But as an offensive coordinator, you're already looking down the line of, okay, who's going to be the guy that replaces him, and how would I have to change the offense? How does that work when you're already got an idea of what's going to happen, and maybe the kid that you were counting on to be that guy to replace Justin McMillan, he ups and transfers out of the program? How difficult is this making it on the coaches in the NCAA today?
Well, first off, you know, it is tough. But second off, you know, it's really been a huge advantage for us. We haven't lost anybody. We've only gained players. And I think that is only, you know, number one is a credit to Coach Fritz. We did not have a single player enter the portal that had eligibility left. Now, we had a few enter the portal that only had Division II eligibility left with their clock. They didn't have Division I eligibility left. So we did not have a single player that could have come back and played for Tulane enter the portal. And I think that's a credit to how they feel like Coach Fritz treats them, how they're being treated as men, how they're being progressed through the program. I think that's a credit to the honesty that we have with them. And I think people are happy here. I think I just think he's just a tremendous leader. I mean, I told this at a clinic I spoke at yesterday. Every day I come to work, I feel like I'm going to take a master's or a doctorate class in leadership and how to be a man's man. he's just a tremendous leader. The way he treats people, the direction he gives you, the clearness in which he instructs. So I think that's filtered throughout our program. We haven't lost anybody, and we've only gained transfers. Now, will it hit us eventually? It probably will, because it hits everybody. But I think if you've got a good grasp of your room and your players, you know. I mean, you know these kids. We're in tight with them. We've got great relationships with them. You can tell when they're unhappy or when something's wrong. But so far, the transfer portal has been nothing but good to the way.
Well, speaking with Will Hall, offensive coordinator of the Tulane Green Wave, at Coach_Hall7, his personal Twitter account if you want to go do that as well. Coach, you're coming from Memphis. You were there a year. You saw the talent that this conference has. I talked with Coach Fritz yesterday, and he believes, and I do too, I think Tulane's got some talent here. This conference has got some pretty good football. Let's kind of touch on the guys on your side of the ball. You got a pretty loaded backfield. Bradwell, a Doak Walker Award watch list guy already. Dauphine, I think, you can call him the Flash. I mean, with his speed, Hutterson can run. You got some guys back there, weapon-wise, that you can use behind McMillan.
Yeah, you know, we've got really good backs. We've got two coming back that, you know, were a 1,000-yard rusher and a 900-yard rusher. We've got some young guys coming along in Amari Jones and YG Booker that are really good football players. So we've got to find ways to get more than one back on the field. I think you'll see that a lot this year for all the people listening, very similar to how the Saints have used Ingram and Kamara through the years. So we'll have more than one back on the field a lot. We'll ask them to line up everywhere. They'll be a part of those hybrid-type guys that we're talking about earlier. They're really all good kids. They're tremendous competitors. We signed one incoming guy, Tajay Spears, who's just a tremendous talent as well, along with Stephon Hutterson and Cam Carroll, who are Cam was redshirted last year, who's really talented. So, you know, I'll be foolish if we don't use those guys as much as possible.
Coach, talk for a minute about Jalen McCleskey. Of course, his dad, JJ, played for the Saints here, and you just see so many success stories with athletes today whose father had that experience in the NFL. Talk about what Jalen adds to this roster.
Well, Jalen adds experience to a position that we don't have a lot of experience. He adds playmaking ability to go with Darnell Moody. And then, one thing that Jalen really is great at, man, he just comes to work every day. Because, I mean, that's the way he was raised. You know, his dad was a walk-on that had an unbelievable football career because he had to outwork everybody, had a chip on his shoulder, and I think that's passed on to Jalen. Since Jalen's been here, I don't think there's ever been a day where I've been around him where he wasn't just working. You know, he just works and works and works. He's got tremendous speed, and like I said, I think him along with Darnell Mooney, if we can keep both of them healthy, they'll be a really good duo for us.
Coach, final question for you. Speaking with Will Hall, offensive coordinator of the Tulane Green Wave, it's you have weapons. You got a quarterback that has some experience, and you saw him grow by the game last year. Obviously, I'm sure you came on board and you looked at the film. You could see that happen and make the big play to throw that pass, that two-point conversion, and have the confidence that Coach had in him. You got to protect them, though, so you can run those plays and hand it off to everybody. How can, as a offensive coordinator, can you help your O-line? And what kind of O-line do you think you have this year?
You know, I think our O-line has been, you know, much maligned since I got here. You know, we've got some young guys coming along that have got a chance to be really good football players that have played some games for us. We've helped them out with the transfer portal with Christian Montana and Ben Newton coming in, who played a lot of football. And we just got to keep developing those guys. And then we've got to do things that they can do. You know, it's easy to always point out things that that people can't do. But everybody can do something, and we've got to find the things they can do. We've got to structure it around that. I got a lot of confidence in those guys. They work every day. They really get along well. We've got one of the top young offensive line coaches in the game here. He's sharp. He's a great teacher. He's built a great rapport with those guys and Cody Kennedy. And I really feel like those guys are not going to cost us this year. I feel like they've got a chance to continue to grow and mature and really be good players.
Coach, one last question here. How are you adapting to the food here in New Orleans?
Well, it's the best. You know, everybody knows that. I love it. And if you've seen my physique lately, you can tell that I love it. I told my wife the other day, I said, if fall camp don't hurry up and get here where I can get on a routine and get on a diet and stay away from all this, it's going to be a bad deal for everybody. And I'm looking forward to fall camp getting started. Really appreciate, you know, how everybody's treated me and my family since we got here. And we're going to bust our butt every day to try to do it the Willie Fritz way and try to continue to build this program. I think we're on the verge of something really great. And, you know, whether it happens right now this year like we want it to or really quickly in the next few years. But Coach Fritz has done it the right way, and we're certainly fired up to be on board and help out.
Well, there's no arguing the excitement. It's not fabricated. I think people feel it for a reason, Coach, and you're coming off of a bowl win. The team is a year ago. Let's see if you can build on it. And, again, if you want to chat with Coach Will Hall, Willie Fritz, and the rest of his staff, next week, Thursday, July 25th, over in the Glazer Club, it's called Let's Talk Football. It's an event, Jay. That's what it's called. Let's Talk Football.
It's my real, kind of event.
It's real simple. Let's Talk Football. So it's a chance to go in there. You can get your tickets for $20. You can go get go to TulaneGreenwayFootball.com and get all that info. Follow Coach Hall over on Twitter at Coach_Hall7. And, of course, Tulane Football at Green Wave FB. Coach, looking forward to meeting you a little later during the season.
All right, guys. I look forward to meeting you, too, as well. That Let's Talk Football that night will be an awesome event. Hope all of you listening can come out and bring a friend. It should be a great night to get to know us and get to know what all we're doing and get involved with the program even more.
Sounds good. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck this year.
Thanks, guys.
That fabricated. I legitimately think they got
some talent. I think they're on the verge of something special.
It was just putting the one to two pieces together. They lost some games last year they could have won. It was handling expectation levels for the first time, and they haven't had that Houston game. I think that Houston game, I've circled it. It's game four. It's a Thursday night on ESPN at Yulman. You want to be taken, you know, I'm not saying you want to be taken seriously. You can still have a successful season, but there's certain games and moments that coaches, when their programs take over, you know, you get somebody in. Okay, is this that step? You've waited for a couple of coaches that had that over there. I mean, that's just reality, right? So if that's a step game, I guess is the best way I can put it. You go beat Houston there. It's a team that they went and go got Dana Holgorsen.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Spent a lot of money to go get him. You beat Memphis, who was in the conference championship game last year. You're going to play them towards the end of the year. But you get that game, you know, confidence goes a long way in a locker room. And I think if you can get some big wins early, you saw with LSU last year, that Georgia win and that Auburn win, I think, led to the Georgia win.
Absolutely. And look, Gus, you brought it up. When
Miami led Auburn, Auburn led the Georgia.
Even though it's the Houston Cougars, they went out and got Dana Holgorsen from a top five conference,
yes,
in West Virginia.
Yes.
A Big 12 school.
Yes.
And they brought him in. That's still going to help,
yes,
Tulane, because it puts the spotlight,
yeah,
on this conference.
Absolutely.
And if Tulane can have a good year this year,
yeah,
There's no telling where this program. Willie Fritz can coach. I watched this guy when he was at Sam Houston State. And this guy can flat out coach the game of football. I think they're on the verge of a special year.
That's Jay Hargrave. I'm Gus Katten. Get Wiley a favor. He joins us next. Don't go anywhere. It's ESPN New Orleans.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
The police called after midnight when they caught our son at a drinking party. It was a real wake-up call. My wife and I are really worried. We don't know if our son has a serious problem or if he's just hanging around with the wrong crowd. How do we know what to do? The police officer who brought our son home suggested we try Al-Anon family groups. He said it might help to hear how other parents are dealing with alcohol problems. I didn't want to go to an Al-Anon meeting. I didn't want anyone to think we had problems like that. And I didn't think our son's problem was that bad. When I decided to give Al-Anon a try, I found it was a safe place that keeps your problems private. It was very helpful. Are you troubled by someone else's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON. Or go to alanon.org.
The Army National Guard is offering up to a $20,000 enlistment bonus and other tuition benefits to qualified candidates, including new recruits and those with prior military service. Already received your education or are currently in school? You may be eligible for up to $50,000 in student loan repayment. Learn more about the many benefits that come with serving part-time in the Army National Guard. Visit NationalGuard.com today. Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard and aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey, it's Matt Moscona.
Love you, Matt.
Paul O'Neill.
They're chanting Paul O'Neill's name.
And Musso.
And we invite you to join us every single weekday for After Further Review. I'll tell you every single day. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Weekdays on After Further Review. Join us from 3 to 6. It's AFR on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Escúchame, it is Dan Levitation, ESPN Radio.
Over 15 years plus doing this show with Stugatz, there have been precious few times when he has ever said of anything going on anywhere in his life, Dan, be careful with this. Don't make fun of me on this. I don't think this is on the list. I think Stugatz came in here today smelling like cigarettes. He smelled like Vladdy Diva.
No. We've talked about this before.
But what stress did you have in your life?
It feels a little awkward because I think Stugatz is trying to keep this secret. Because there was one time where he stepped out early to study for Highly Questionable, and all that meant was he just went through a pack of heaters.
Well, it just two. I mean, that's all.
Two packs of heaters.
I concentrate better when I go through heaters getting ready for HQ. And listen, my performance showed. I was contributing because I was smoking heaters.
The Dan Levitation Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
This is me right now on the guitar. See it? Let me get the pick. Let me stretch here.
This is you?
That was me. That's me right now. I'm plugged in.
I want to see that.
Come on. Can't be that hard.
I'd give
it's one chord.
I'd give anything to see you karaoke.
Me?
Yeah.
You know I used to sing in a band, right?
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you sing? It's Friday?
Not sing.
Is that what it is? You wrote the song.
The Not Sing
That's
Friday.
That's why you like it.
Then I was taken. I just know how to recognize talent. 800-998-1003.
Of what?
Marlon Favorite sent me a picture. A little bit ago as we try to get him. There's he and Chase Fourcade. I didn't realize Chase was that big.
Chase is a big boy.
Yeah.
People don't realize. You see him on TV and you don't think that people are that big.
I mean, Marlon's not small.
Marlon's not a small man.
It's not small. Chase put on a little size.
He's about 6'5".
Been hitting the weights.
Marlon's what, 6'4", 6'5"?
I don't know if he's that tall. No, Marlon's short.
That goes two ways, Jay. That goes two ways, Jay.
Point is, he's a Getcher Stadium over there. He's at with Nichols, so I don't know if he's doing a camp or something.
Looks like it.
Oh, it is. It is a Nichols camp. That's right. That's his kid. There he is.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Jay, that goes two ways. I saw Gus in person. He looked much better on TV.
There he is. That's what he's doing. So we're going to try to get a hold of him.
He looks better on TV than he does here.
Nichols is holding a camp.
He's serious?
That's why they're there. So. What now?
He said you look better on TV. I say he looks better on TV than he does here.
No,
I do.
He looked nice on TV.
With a nice white light.
Mm-hmm. He looked bigger on TV than in person.
I look bigger on TV. I don't like that.
You do. I saw you on the Sports Zone one night, and you did a good job. I never gave you your props for that. You did a good job.
I started in television. That's what I thought I was going to do. I wouldn't mind doing more television.
You're good at it. Nobody will allow me. That's true. You'd have to give up this week, Gig.
I can do it at night.
That's true. Yeah. Gus, the TV personality.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'd like to do. I just want to be seen.
That's all it is.
I'm kidding.
Even Rebecca Black's bodyguard, you can be seen all the time with all the places she
Raphael's
performs at.
Raphael's comments today, huh? Giving the Mayweather's bodyguard a text.
There you go. You'd be Mayweather's bodyguard.
No, that's not what we're doing. All right. I don't know. I saw Garland Gillen of Fox 8 put this out there on Facebook. So it's a map from thetakeout.com, a map of each state's most hated food. For Louisiana, it's cookies with raisins.
I can go there. I'm not a big raisin fan at all.
Really?
I don't like raisins.
Like the oatmeal, because that's the only cookie that I can think of that has raisins in it,
right?
I don't eat them with raisins.
I'll eat them iced oatmeal cookies.
Raisins. I don't have a problem with raisins.
I like oatmeal cookies, but not with raisins in them.
Texas, it's steak cooked well done.
Wow.
As in foods that they hate.
Right. I didn't think they would put steak anywhere near a food they don't like, even though it's well
done. Texans saying they don't like well done steaks.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal to a Texan. Yeah, that's well done, rare, medium.
Oklahoma, veggie burgers.
See, I would have thought that for Texas.
Is that Kansas with shellfish?
That would make sense. They're in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
What's California?
Chick-fil-A.
How?
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah. Seattle's K-Cups, Keurig K-Cups. They like their Starbucks and stuff up there, I guess.
Oh.
Licorice for Florida? Most hated foods?
That's bizarre.
Jersey's my favorite. Gas station wine.
I didn't even know gas station sold wine.
That's probably not where I'm going.
Yeah, I wouldn't get one there. It's like gas station sushi. I mean, look, I'm not incredibly picky.
Spray cheese in Vermont. I can understand that.
My sister lives
in Vermont because they have a lot of good cheese. Vermont cheddar.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So they're like, what are you doing with spray cheese?
So I guess they're really saying that's inferior.
Yeah, exactly. Cold pizza, Michigan.
See, I love pizza, but I don't eat it cold.
I do not eat it cold. Same thing with chicken. I cannot do cold Popeyes and all that. People love cold chicken and pizza. No way.
I agree. I'll agree with you there.
I can't do
it. This is scary. We're agreeing too much.
Well, you know, it's coming around. Sour cream from Mississippi?
How do you not like sour cream on things? Like nacho bel grande?
Arkansas, cilantro. There's enough people in Arkansas that would know what cilantro is.
Who just eats cilantro? I don't like it.
Well, no.
Give me a bunch of cilantro.
The number one thing that cilantro is going to be in? Guacamole.
Guacamole, pico de gallo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's right. You did restaurants, my bad.
Yeah, you think.
Tuna salad for Georgia.
Wow.
Ah, Scott chiming in. California, very liberal. Chick-fil-A, very conservative. That would make sense. Good get there. Cottage cheese for South Carolina.
I'm not a cottage cheese guy. I can't go there.
Hummus for Virginia?
Not a big hummus person.
No. What was it? Tennessee. That's Tennessee. Pesto, Ohio.
I don't like pesto.
I like pesto.
I'm not a big pesto fan.
Really?
It's okay on certain pastas.
I like pesto. 800-998-1003. Marlon the Midget, apparently, is what we're going to call him here. I see a picture you just tweeted out there. You sent me. You would chase 4K over at Nichols football camp. I didn't realize he was that. Dude, he's pretty big. I'm not saying that y'all are, like, identical there, but I didn't realize he put a little size on, huh?
Yeah, he got some size on him, Gus, man. He put on some size. He's been working out. And, hey, look, in between the drills out here at camp, he was doing a couple of throws. So he's working, man. He's truly the leader of the team out here for sure.
How tall are you?
I am 6'7", 8". Okay. So that's 6'1" with cleats on.
Okay. So wow. So you're going to list yourself at 6'1"?
6'1" all the time.
Okay. Oh,
six one.
That's okay. All right, I was making sure. Because, like, Chase is right there for you. And but, again, like, size-wise, it just – look, I mean, we were talking a little bit about it here as well, about what their programs yesterday, their Southland Conference Media Days over in Houston, they had the unanimous pick for them to win the conference this year. And, again, they building on programs year by year, right, to get to the playoffs 2 years ago. Last year, hosted and won and then moved on to the second round. I said a lot of credit has to go to what he can do, bringing confidence and stuff to that program. You got to have players like that. Along those lines, we saw Joe Burrow this week with LSU. And a lot of discussion I've heard on different radio shows this week is Joe Burrow a Heisman candidate? Some say yes, some say no. I look at it like this. If you're a team that's being talked about as a possible playoff team, contending team to get one of the four spots, and you're led by your quarterback, he's likely going to be a Heisman candidate. But along the lines of comparisons I was saying, like with Chase and Joe Burrow, to have a player come in that has confidence, maybe has a little edge, and just gives that side of the football the belief that they can win if that side of the football has the ball, how important is that?
It's super important, Gus, man. Everything starts at the top. And in the game of football, the quarterback is at the top of the food chain. He basically set outside of the head coach and on the administration side, as far as the players go, the quarterback set the temperament of the whole team. So just talking to Chase today, man, it's like, man, I hadn't seen you since we were training at Duke. I remember as a young kid, he's always worked hard, even in, you know, his senior at Rumble, balled out. And he came here and he took over, man. And, you know, he was telling me about, you know, how his family wanted him to go to Maryland and things like that. He's like, no, I want to stay here right home in Louisiana and ball at home. And it's working in his favor, man. I think, you know, again, going to the back-to-back playoff appearances and just the way Coach Rebo is able to get the team to kind of rally up, Gus, man, it's a lot of potential down here at Nickel State, man. A lot of in-state guys had opportunity to cover during the Cox 4 games of the week. Oh, man, it's been truly impressive, for sure.
Marlon, it's Jay Hargrave, and just having finished up SEC Media Week, Joe Burrow, I think, kind of got a lot of attention toward LSU with the way he handled himself, the confidence that he has. You know, last year I thought LSU was going to have a lot better year than they did, than a lot of people were giving them credit for, and they exceeded my expectations. Now I kind of have the feeling that I think expectations have gone a little bit haywire, that people are putting them in the national championship game. When I looked at that team last year, LSU did not have an offensive and defensive line that could compete in a national championship game, or I feel even into the playoff series. Is this team ready to compete for the playoffs with the offensive and defensive lines that they have coming in this year?
Hey, what's up, Jay, man? How's it going, brother?
Good, brother. How you doing?
Man, awesome. I think this team do have, I was just talking to Mike D about this a second ago. This team has all the potential in the world. Me and Gus just talked about Joe Burrow and what he's able to do to get the offense to rally around him. Look at the key pieces added in on defense and the guys' leadership they have on defense. You look at a guy like lost my train of thought. Grandel Pitt, right? A unanimous all SEC, all American preseason guy. He showed you what he can do on the field. You look at the defensive line. Brandon Fajoco come back healthy. Rashard Lawrence, things he could do. Tyler Shelton, another guy can rotate in at their nose position. So I think this team is, as you ask me, Jay, preseason wise, of course, we got to get through that hurdle. Me and Gus talked about earlier this week that run through Florida, Mississippi State, Alabama, that whole end of October, early November deal. But they go through that flying colors. You're looking at a top 14 in the country, and it's the bottom line. So is this the year they beat Alabama? I believe so. I think Clemson put the blueprint out there for LSU to do it. So it's going to be an interesting season, but they can't take their foot off the pedal, man. They have to continue to think like the underdogs perform well.
It's interesting you use that phrase, the underdog, because I think that's something that Joe Burrow, we were talking about the impact that he had last year. He came in and accepted and liked that. You know, they liked being the ones that could keep doubting us. Good, keep doubting us. That gets you so far. And now it's a little different, Marlon, because I agree with you on this. This is nuts. And I preface it by saying it's nuts. Alabama's still Bama. But we're seeing things the last several months that I keep using the phrase chinks in the armor, right? In the NFL draft leading up to it, you had a couple of guys that were going to go late in rounds, and Nick Saban was referencing a player but not referencing a player during the spring game practice media session, and it ticked off that player. Says, like, you get my name out of your mouth. It's not all hunky-dory at Alabama. The staff changes, 5 to 6 new coaaches, I believe, have been replaced. You said seven,
I think,
Jay?
It was seven.
Wow. And then the soundbite from Wednesday, in which he says, after the LSU game, my staff basically said they bleeped the bed. They focused on everything but us. And you just kind of get that sense and feeling of, I'm not saying it's unraveling. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm not picking 4 losses here. But they just don't have that aura of invincibility that they maybe did, which is nuts. Because going into that Clemson game, no one thought that they were losing. So I know what I'm saying, but it's just the feeling, right? A&M's not a bad team, man. I don't think LSU is a bad team talent-wise. I think the trek through the SEC is not going to be as easy as it has been for Bama, I guess is what I'm getting at, Marlon. Do you see it like that, I guess is what I'm getting at?
I do, Gus. It's a different SEC West. I was just talking with Trevon here, Thibodeau guy, went to Nickel State, played in the NFL, won a national championship with Auburn. He said they coming. Texas A&M, we know that battle, and we know what we have here at LSU. So, Gus, I do agree with you. What stood out about Clemson last year in the national championship? That defensive line. That's the edge that Alabama has had over the past years. Not so much the receiving core. Yes, Calvin Ridley is doing his thing in Atlanta. It's not the quarterback play. You know that, Gus. You know, they have their running back. It's the defensive line. Look at a guy like Quinn Williams. He was a 1-year starter for Alabama. He was a first-round, third-pick overall draft pick this year. So you look at stuff like that, and that's where the battle is won. I love to take it here, baby. Hello, somebody. Inside the trenches, Gus. That's where it's at. LSU comes out there with a fire 6 to 8 man rotation up front, guys that step up in fall training camp and can prove to Coach Ed Orgeron that they're in a position to where they can handle their business. You're looking at a team that can beat Alabama. So it's going to start up front. You got to have guys. Look at the year, and I'll stop with this one. Look at the year we had Jamal Adams, Leonard Fournette. We were so close at home to beating Alabama, but defensively they got it, for sure.
Marlon, the injury to Kalavon Chase on last year was devastating to that defense. And the only good thing about it was it happened early in the season. So he'll have almost a full calendar year to be fully recovered from that. Do you think he'll be fully recovered? Because if they're going to make a playoff run, I think he's going to play a key part in it.
I do think having him this year, he's healthy last year. You have a guy that's an all-SEC edge rusher. You're looking at anywhere between 7 to 9 sacks, and that's just me. I do think he's healthy. I had a chance to talk with him a few weeks out there in Baton Rouge. He looks ready, man. He has the size. Clearly he has the technique. And in my opinion, LSU lost their best pass rusher last year. So with him coming back, having a year to recover, he's going to be a difference maker on that team. But we're going to need some other guys to step up. We're going to have to see someone off of that bench step up and handle their business, because the way to do it is to have rotations. You got to have fresh bodies in there all the time. So that's going to be, in my opinion, the difference maker for this team.
Well, Marlon, rest up, my friend, because the SEC media put out their poll today, just announced. LSU picked to finish 2nd. Last year, they picked to finish 5th. So they are picked to finish. It's just a feeling that it just feels like it's going to be an interesting year. I'm not saying they're beating them. I don't know. This game's in Tuscaloosa. They almost play better at Tuscaloosa than they do in Tiger Stadium. I don't know. It just seems to me like the West is going to be harder. A&M is not a bad team. That's going to be a tough game. Look, and it's every year, Marlon and Jay. Gus Malzahn's coaching for his job, right? I mean, he's coaching for his job. So Auburn's got to pick it up. Ole Miss has nothing to lose, you know? They always tend to give Alabama, except for last year, for the most part, a tough game. And look, Mississippi State's not a bad football team. Second year under that coach. So, again, let's see what happens. In the East, you know, I wonder if Florida gives Georgia a run.
Florida gives Georgia a run, Gus. Don't think for a second Dan Mullen's not going to be over there for 2-3 years and get it all together. They're going to, honestly, it's going to, you got the Wild Wild West. Is it just me or is SEC football like the NBA? it's like the NBA. And whatever team from the East can handle their business, you get in the big show and then you change the whole dynamic.
Because I forget what Kentucky did last year. Kentucky.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt was good.
So, I don't see, that's just me. Again, I have really no big reason why other than, my reasons are non-football related in terms of like athletes and players. I mean, Tua's back and you always are going to have athletes and talent, but it's what we've spoken a lot with the Saints, guys. The brain drain happened. The brain drain was real. After 2009, you had Dennis Allen, Lombardi, Curtis Johnson, Doug Marrone, they all went on to be either coaches or coordinators. Now, whether or not they succeeded and lasted is irrelevant. They left that staff. The team didn't do as well. They all came back. We're now talking about a Super Bowl contender. I mean, I think, and I know Saban's had, what was it, Jordan said, since 2015 or 14, something like 20 coaches have changed on his staff. I get that. But at some point, Marlon's got to catch up.
It does, man, at some point. And all Saban can try to do is continue to evolve. I mean, that's pretty much the bottom line with Saban, is just try to evolve and keep up with it. But that national championship showed me something, Gus. It really did. And I know Coach Aranda's watching that film. I know Coach Ed Ogeron and his staff has been watching how, you know, when they're doing their full season map out of the game plan, but it's almost here, man. I'm just, you kind of, once football season gets started, you start thinking LSU football. Mm-hmm. Part of you get nervous, but part of you like, is this going to be the year we beat Bama? So, hey, almost here. Fall ball, baby.
There he is. Marlon Favre, what else he got going on? How's the little one doing, man? I saw a picture. He looked hot. You get him some beverages or what?
He's a big boy, man. He's doing pretty well. As a matter of fact, we're on Pivotal right now, and he's stayed back home with mom. Kentrell, he handled his business out here at camp. He's going into his sophomore year at De La Salle. And little Marlon is all he wants to play is Fortnite and Roblox all day. But the family's going good, man.
Now, I hear you. Thanks for the picture sending out there. Again, Nichols having their football camp. That's where Marlon is right now. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Marlon. Have a good weekend.
All right. Cool. See you, Jay. Y'all take care, fella.
See you soon. Big Fave 504 is where to follow on Twitter. We're going to break.
So you're concerned about Tua coming back to Alabama?
What do you mean?
You think it's like a bad thing for LSU?
No. I'm saying, he's coming back. So, I mean, it's not like
everybody's talking like he's the do-all, end-all quarterback.
He should have won the Heisman last year.
What has he done?
Oh, come on.
I know we're talking about in the last segment.
Here we go. You're just like Jordan. Who'd they play? I don't know. SEC teams. The guy didn't play in two-thirds of the fourth quarters of his games.
Against who?
Oh, here we go. You can't say that argument.
So let me
you
ask
you
this.
You can't say that argument and then tell me the SEC is a good conference.
Let me ask you this.
So, I mean,
no, let me,
do,
hear,
you understand
hear me out.
How it's a dichotomy? I mean, like, it's a contrast, right? You get that. You can't tell me the SEC is the best conference in college football. Tua didn't play in the second half of most of the games. Well, who they play? I mean,
here's the thing.
It's which one is it?
Here's the thing. Think about
the
this.
The best conference in college football, and he doesn't play most second halves or fourth quarters. I mean, I don't know how you can then say, well, they didn't play anybody.
Played in a national championship game. He came off the bench.
He was hurt.
In a game. No, I'm talking about the first one that they won.
Right.
That he won. Defense had no idea he was coming into the game. They didn't have a chance to prepare for him.
Okay.
plays a regular season and plays a bunch of teams like the Citadel and some teams in the SEC and looks pretty good. They're not in the national championship game if, one, Jalen Hurts doesn't come off of the bench in the SEC championship game. And then he goes into the national championship game and doesn't play all that well. And what has come out about Tua?
I'm going to say this. I thought, go ahead, finish your story.
The rap on it, and I started watching him, and it's true. He's staring down receivers. He goes to the intended receiver. And I think teams have started to figure Tua out. And I'll be very curious to see if this kid, when you got teams talking about tanking in the NFL to get this kid, I'm not sure you want to do that because I'm not sure he's that good of a quarterback.
He's
a good quarterback, but he's not the do-all, end-all, let's tank our franchise in order to get Tua Tagovailoa.
Jay Hardgrave. Tua's a bum. That's what I just heard right now. He called him a bum. It's incredible.
Hold all calls. We have a winner.
Oh my. I'm at a loss. He was only, let me tell you, Saban lost the national championship when that kid was hurt, and he played him in the game before LSU and all that, and then he played him out. He should have not played him for a couple of games in the regular season to get him healthy.
100%
agree with you. He kept playing him throughout the rest of the season. That ankle never healed, and he was never the same since.
That's
a fair. Period, end of story.
That's a fair argument, and I blame Saban for that when it happened. That was absolutely ridiculous.
You play him,
exactly.
And Tua comes back later when he's healthy.
Exactly.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
The NASCAR Report is sponsored by Rogers Parts, your locally owned Napa Auto Parts stores. Sponsor of the Chase Elliott No. 9 car in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
Kurt Busch held off his brother Kyle to snap a 31-race winless streak and lock himself into the Cup Series postseason Saturday night at Kentucky, making the 2004 champ an instant dark horse for the championship. Eric Jones, Kyle Larson, and Denny Hamlin completed the top five. With seven races left in the Cup Series regular season, Joey Logano continues to lead the younger Busch by 11 points, while Eric Jones' third-place run in Kentucky moved him back in front of Ryan Newman for the final spot in the Cup playoffs by two markers. Cole Custer picked up his series-leading fifth win of 2019 in the Xfinity race Friday night, while Tyler Ankrum, who's battled funding issues all year long, won the truck race and clinched a playoff spot Thursday night. This week in the Cup Series, Sunday at 2 p.m. and the Xfinity Tour Saturday at 3 p.m. head to New Hampshire for their only trip to Loudoun this season. They're joined by NASCAR's Regional Modified and East Pro Series tours Friday and Saturday. The Truck Series returns to action at Pocono on Saturday, July 27th. For the ESPN New Orleans NASCAR Report, I'm Will Rabb.
This NASCAR report has been sponsored by Rogers Parts, locally owned, nationally known. Rogers Parts, serving the local area for over 50 years. Sponsor of the Chase Elliott No. 9 car in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
Napa Know-How.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, Marine, and Industrial Supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' five locations, Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa Know-How.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
There we go. That was air whistle. Air whistle. What?
Air guitar, air whistle. You're very musical today, except for the Rebecca Black
I am always
thing.
Very musical. I told you, I've been in bands. I play music. I like music.
Are you serious? I thought you were joking.
Yeah, no. I'm very musically inclined.
Wow,
I missed my calling.
What?
Oh, should be on a world tour.
Him.
With?
I should have my own plane, with, like the Rolling Stones.
With Rebecca Black?
Ah. She might be the open to the open to the open to the open.
I don't think
she's
like
Showtime's at 7. She's like at 9 in the morning.
I mean, look, if she opens with somebody, she plays one song and she gets off. I mean, that's it. She's done.
I'm all inclusive.
Or
any
she maybe sings it Saturday. It's Saturday.
Follow, man.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Oh, brother.
What?
Nothing.
All right.
I got the sense and feeling, by the way, people mistook my question yesterday for the day. I think it's how Jordan maybe worded. I'm throwing him under the bus.
Right. He's not here. He's defending himself.
He's got a
throwing
wedding
him under
to
the
go
bus.
To. Not his. Him and Sarah did not go off and tie the knot.
Ow.
Yeah. No, ow. I mean, she's not on the show on Thursday. People wonder where she's at, and Jordan's not here, and I said wedding. It's a logical conclusion to
so
think they ran off
they
and tied the knot.
They just threw everything together and finished it off.
Well.
Wow.
Exactly. So yesterday I asked, you know, there's a lot of excitement level this fall. And I think the top three reasons for excitement would be Saints, LSU, and Pelicans. Would you agree?
Yes.
Of like the entire state.
Yes.
There's excitement level everywhere. I get it.
Tulane, Nichols, but
right.
The big three.
Right. Exactly. I mean, for Nichols, I mean, you're picked to finish first in the conference unanimously. Like everyone that covers them thinks you're the best team. There's excitement. You were a second-round team last year. When we talk to Coach Rebo next week, where are we going?
Yep.
There's excitement. I think for Tulane, there's excitement. Pick the finish third, but I think, hey, a successful back-to-back bowl seasons, maybe a little bigger bowl, a few more wins. If you can get to 8 instead of 6, there's excitement. I had Pels third because the excitement level is because of Zion. But the excitement level is building because of the future of where we're going.
Right.
Right?
That's
I mean, like, we would be out of our minds if we actually could be competing for an A spot. ESPN Power Rankings had them 9 in the West. That's remarkable. Months after AD says
be
pieces
better.
Out.
But, I think they're in
I agree.
Play.
But that's why there's excitement.
Right.
I had LSU at 2 because of what you just heard, and the SEC media now picks them 2nd. The excitement level is, are they a playoff team?
Correct.
I think people believe they're a playoff team. I mean, they're throwing around is Burrow a Heisman. That's a different level of excitement because you're talking about competing for a title.
Yes.
Whether it's the SEC West, the SEC title, whatever. Saints, it's Super Bowl. I mean,
they're the favorites.
They're the ones. But I got some people thinking, oh, you're putting the Pels below that. And I got a Tulane fan saying, Tulane, talk about them. We had Coach Fritz on yesterday and Coach Will Hall today. Read the question. In level of excitement, I said there's excitement everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm just ranking the level of excitement. That's all I was doing. Everyone's excited, and they should be for a lot of the programs in state. We just mentioned Nichols, Tulane would be my 4 and 5, the top 5 things to be excited about this fall. In this fall.
That's fair.
I think that's
I would have done the same thing. I would have done the exact
but
same ranking. 1, 2,
all right,
3.
So I got to play the same invite because I think, maybe I'm wrong, maybe we can talk about this next week.
When the season started, I think we were great.
Right.
You know, and I've said this before, when we won the LSU game, you know, it just seemed like people's own agendas started to become a little more important. And I think
is that coaching or players?
Coaching. All right. And, you know, we had a lot of guys that were going to be head coaches different places. And it really takes a special person to stay focused on what they're doing now when they have a job someplace else that is awaiting them and the responsibilities and hiring staffs and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not being critical of those people. It's just very challenging. And we had a lot of that on our staff last year.
Again, Paul Feinbaum didn't ask him, you know, about your staff. The fact he volunteered and gave that again, and I asked you, I said this to you during the break because we're running out of time. Are we starting to see pressure affecting Nick Saban?
Yes.
With decision making?
Absolutely.
Changing players mid-game? I mean,
he could have easily said this simple. I've got to do a better job coaching my coaches.
Period. Done.
That's it. End of story.
He could have just said, we didn't coach as well as we could.
But they wouldn't give Clemson credit.
He gave specifics. He gave the game, and he gave reason. That's different. We have not seen that in the past, which is why I think it could be. Hey, thank you. Thank you for tuning us in. Matt Moscone after further reviews up next. Adios, Jay.
Adios. Have a good weekend, brother.